smartest guys around are about to break it down like they've won the game a million times.
Well, actually, they didn't really win the game at all.
Survivor know-it-alls.
Right, the Survivor Know-It-Alls are back here on another Wednesday night after another chaotic night of Survivor 41, and here with a man who will never touch your papayas. It is Stephen Fishback. Stephen, how are you?
I'm, you know, distraught, very upset about the result tonight, Tiffany. You know, I feel like, you know, we had her for, what, seven great episodes?
Eight.
Baruch Hashem.
Yes.
But gone too soon. And I feel like early on in the season, you know, she kind of was this, I didn't see her true potential as a character. I thought she was going to be that person who was, you know, kind of brought to the end as a zero vote finalist. We both had speculated about that, that, you know, maybe that once she got past those first votes that she would be there for the long haul. Tragically, we were wrong for her survivor chances, but partially that was because she, you know, I think really far excelled what we had hoped for or dreamed of for her as a character.
Yeah.
Great
survivor character. Sad to see her go. We will have the chance to chat with Tiffany tomorrow on the Survivor exit interview. So be on the lookout for our interview with the first member of the jury coming up on Thursday. And it'll be a busy Thursday on the podcast because, Stephen, I will be catching up as well with your friend and mine, the great star of Netflix's David versus Goliath, Christian Ubicki.
Ubicki. I had a feeling that it was going to, I don't know why, maybe I just had like a sense that it was going to be Christian.
You knew.
You said your friend and mine. I was like, who am I still in touch with?
Yes. Yes. So that'll be a lot of fun to catch up with Christian. Should be a lengthy conversation about all things Survivor 41 with Christian.
Because he's a talker, is your point.
He's a talker. You know him. You know him. Yeah. Classic Christian. He'll go on and on and on. That he's not going to just talk through a four-minute challenge like we had on this episode.
Yeah. Well, you got to get his perspective on, you know, on Xander's coding for who the mole was.
Yes. Debugging. Sure.
Debugging,
sure.
Right, thank you. Yeah.
So we'll talk with Christian about all that. We've got a great feedback show this well. We will be speaking with the co-hosts of the Rob Has a Podcast's own Real Housewives of Salt Lake City coverage. Maggie Morgan and Jacob Jones will be my guests on the feedback show. So that'll be very fun to have podcast co-hosts with me on the feedback show this week. And Jessica Leese will be with us on the Survivor 41 patron Q&A coming up on Monday night. So it's going to be a jam-packed week on the podcast. Stephen, this was, I thought, an interesting show tonight, and a real scramble out of the blue. It was like almost like that the tribal councils are just sort of like, okay, let's just like we have our little press conference. It's like, all right, is it time yet? Is it time? Is it time to do the thing?
Yeah, that was 100% what the feel. First of all, I thought it was a great episode. I really enjoyed the episode. I thought it was really fun. There was like, you know, there was food politics. There was a missed advantage. I may be unlike other viewers, but I kind of thought this was like one of the few times or two of the few times that Jeff's fourth wall breaking really worked.
I loved it. I loved it
both
tonight.
Times. Yeah. Both of them. Yeah. Where he like set up the advantage. I thought that was really fun. And when he kind of congratulated Evie and sort of tossed it to future Survivor players, I thought that was great too. So I thought those were both really organic.
Oh, okay. I thought you were saying that I liked when he, so I liked when he set up the advantage and I liked when he said, oh, because he didn't get the advantage.
That was great too. Yes. Yeah. That was great. And I mean, that was where I feel like he shines, right? Where, first of all, it was so seamless the way he did it. You know, I mean, obviously he's a pro and he's the best at this, but the way he just, you know, both like took it out, you know, over to the contestants. They go, you know, all one shot, you know, he grabs the advantage, you know, it was so elegantly done. And I thought really great, because this is sort of where he's adding value. Like, hey, we're going to put this right here. You know, they need to know they have an opportunity to look for it. And if they don't find it, that's on them. And now they'll never know what it is. That was what a cool intro and outro. And I did see on Twitter some people saying, you know, hey, I don't love.
Anyway, well, look, people have to say they hate everything. So, like, let's talk about what's bad. But when something's good, let's talk about what's good.
I thought this was a really, really fun episode. My only complaint was that I felt like at Tribal Council, I was given a very clear narrative of what was about to happen. And then the result had like nothing to do with that. I mean, they had kind of contextualized where Tiffany might show up, but the fact that Tiffany was the vote and there was all of this theatrics around, let's make it Heather. You know, someone on Twitter was speculating, was this all theater? And obviously that's always, you know, was Heather's whole thing a way to flush Nasir's idol? I don't know.
Well, let's talk it through.
That transition point from when it went to everyone saying it's got to be Heather. Yeah. You know, there was that conflict between Shan and Deshaun.
Twice.
Well, right. But at Tribal Council, there was an additional one, which to me like validated that this was like a real conversation. Like if this was just theater, like would they really be having like a fight in front of everybody?
Yeah, I don't think it was theater.
Yeah. I mean, but it's possible that Heather's thing was theater, because like why wait until the last moment?
So, you know, here's what I want to talk through with you. Okay. That I think that this all unfolded because nobody was willing to be the decoy vote, that they basically, you know, they're trying to do a vote split. And this was the plan that we heard from like right after we get done with the challenge where, okay, Evie just won immunity. So now ideally we want to, and Liana said it, we want Xander to play his idol incorrectly and we want to vote out Tiffany. That's what Liana said right after the challenge. And that's what the plan is. Steven, instead of like all of this, like cloak and dagger of, okay, we're going to tell Xander the plan is this, and then we're going to tell Tiffany the plan is this, and we're going to tell Heather the plan is this. So why not just tell, like, there's 11 people in the tribe, Evie, Tiffany, and Xander are voting together potentially, and who knows if they would, but like worst case scenario, they're voting together. Can you just tell Tiffany and Xander, we're putting our votes on you tonight. It's going to be one of you two. Then you don't have to, because then you have all these situations where, okay, well, we're going to tell Xander, it's actually going to be, we're going to split the votes between Tiffany and Heather. And now Heather's like, hey, why, who's throwing my name out there? And the guys are wanting to split the votes on Nasir and get his name out there. And why not just say, to the two people that you're going to split the votes on, hey, we're putting, you know, play your idol. We're putting the votes on you two tonight.
Well, the Nasir thing was an actual plan, right? Yes. That Danny had proposed and that Deshaun had, you know, advocated for as well. We should talk about that separately. But that question of, you know, why all this subterfuge? Why all this, hey, you're the decoy vote? I do think there's some validity, right? Because, yeah, they know Xander has an idol, but this is like, you know, advantage season, and you have no idea what else could be lurking somewhere. And I think as a rule on Survivor, you don't want to be that straightforward about where the votes are going, because that's when it's going to blow up in your face. If they say to Xander and Tiffany, hey, we're splitting the votes between you two, they know Xander has an idol, that makes it really easy for some other magic thing to come into play. Yeah. And I think just adding a little bit of confusion is a good strategy as a rule. The place where they went wrong was telling, and also like Shan being the one to tell both Tiffany and Nasir. And she has the least relationship with either of these people, right? She's just met these people. So for her to go to Nasir, for her to go to Tiffany and say, you guys are the decoy boot. Like, of course they're not only offended by that, but scared by that. And you never want to tell someone that they are the decoy boot, because you know, it really shows that they are at the bottom of your alliance. Right. It shows that they are the person who's expendable to you if something does go wrong.
So, Stephen, my question is that how much do you think the shot in the dark contributed to the chaos and was the reason why the players couldn't be more straightforward? Because of the shot in the dark, then if Xander and or Tiffany play their shot in the dark, then the person who is the decoy vote has more of a chance to go home.
Oh, that's a great point. I hadn't even been thinking about the shot in the dark. Now, so here's a question about the rules. Would Xander and Tiffany be able to both play their shot in the dark?
Yes.
And then play the idol on the person who, you know, if one of them were immune and the other was not, then they could play the idol on the other person?
So I think that Xander could, Tiffany could play the shot in the dark. If she misses with the shot in the dark, I think Xander could still play an idol on her. But I think that I'm not sure if you could play. I guess you could probably play your idol. Yeah, why not?
Yeah, so you could play Shot in the Dark, and if that misses, then you play your idol.
Yeah, you know what I'm getting confused with? When people lost their ability to vote, they also lost their ability to do the Shot in the Dark or play their extra vote or do some of the things.
Something where the vote itself was the currency, yeah. So I actually don't know why, in that being the case, Xander here... I guess Xander and Tiffany and all three of those Yasa are trying to build trust, and their way of doing that is sort of going along with the plan. Like they don't want to just play their superpower, right?
Yeah.
Is that a mistake? Like, was that a mistake for? I mean, obviously, it was a mistake for Tiffany not to do it, but was it a mistake for Xander not to play his shot in the dark?
No, I don't think so. I mean, ultimately, Xander casts his vote for Nasir here. So he might be in trouble with Nasir, but I think there are other options.
Nasir casts his vote for Xander.
Yeah. So I think that there's still other potential options. It's interesting coming into the merge last week that Nasir and Xander said, hey, we have to watch each other's backs because we're the people that have idols.
Yeah. I mean, help me understand this whole
Heather,
Tiffany shenanigans.
I have a theory.
The story we saw was, it's going to be Heather.
Yeah.
And then the vote is Tiffany.
I wonder, was Heather closer with Tiffany than we had seen? Now that it's amazing what had happened with this rock draw where basically like the same groups got pulled together twice. In the past cycle, there were basically 2 days that Erica was on the Exile Island. And so the people that were going to be in that vote, I think, had a chance to bond. I wonder if Tiffany and Heather had become close and that Heather had felt like at Tribal Council, she was going to be able to change the plan and potentially like, hey, if I just throw out Nasir's name at the last minute, live tribal, maybe I can get Nasir voted out instead of Heather and instead of Tiffany. And Heather may have just felt like that she could save Tiffany and keep her as a number for her in the game.
So just to restate, so the plan going into tribal is it's going to be a split vote on Xander and Tiffany, but the goal is to get out Tiffany. All the Nasir stuff has been discarded already. Shan got her way, right? Mm-hmm. She didn't want Nasir to be the decoy or to be the where the votes went. And Heather at the last minute thinks like, I'm going to pull a fast one. I'm going to vote out, vote out Nasir. And then all the stuff about let's vote out Heather. You know, and then Deshaun being like, no, I'm going to do it. I'm going along with it. Between Deshaun saying, I'm going to go along with it, I'm going to do it, and the actual vote, there was some like, let's go back to plan A.
That's my theory, because when Heather stands up, the first thing she does is say to Tiffany, hey, stay right here. I'm going to try to do something. And I mean, that's my guess. We'll get more insight into all of this tomorrow when I talk to Tiffany, but does that hold water for you?
Yeah, I think that makes sense. I mean, that makes sense to me that like Heather was trying to save Tiffany, that she was the person, and that then, when there is that scramble and everyone says Heather, and then the thing that they edited out or that they didn't show us was the point where everyone was like, yeah, let's just stick with the original plan. Or there's some like they kind of looped it back to the original plan. The two people who voted for Heather were Evie and Tiffany, right? And so those were the two who, is that correct? You look like you wrote it down.
Yes, so I wrote it down. So the people that voted for Heather were Evie and Tiffany.
So they, So they're the ones who got like looped into this fake plan, which was this last minute fake plan. Maybe it was momentarily the plan.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure it was talked about. Yeah.
Yeah. And then, but then they decided maybe it was because of Deshaun's resistance and Shan not wanting to sort of, you know, like go above him that they, ultimately stuck with their original plan.
Well, earlier in the episode, you saw Deshaun walking with Erica and with Heather, like talking about like the Yasa people. It definitely feels like, and we've seen so little of Luvu, but it feels like that Deshaun has Erica and Heather as numbers. I feel like that those two don't have a ton of other options, and they're like, they feel like that they are in tight with Deshaun. I feel like that Deshaun is like, has been sort of like stringing them along throughout the game.
Yeah, I mean, I think we've really suffered for, I mean, like not having seen like even a little bit more of Heather or Erica, just to get a sense of, you know, the only things we've seen about Erica were related to the,
and it was a breakout night for Heather tonight.
All relative, I guess.
Yeah.
The, you know, all we've seen about Heather is just like the, you know, the sort of setup for this and not wanting, but we really have not seen anything kind of giving us a sense of where she is strategically, which would be so easy. Just give us like one little snippet of like, oh, hey, I still love my Luvus, you know, so easy. Just give us one little mm-hmm. bit. But so yeah, it seems like, and Deshaun has seemed to be the sort of center of that group, like the strategic, maybe social center of that group. And it makes sense that he would protect them, right? You know, why not be in between the alliance he has with Shan and Liana and then the Luvus. You know, you want to keep as many of your allies in the game and get rid of the other person's allies. You know, that makes a lot of sense to me.
Mm-hmm. I think that's like the Occam's razor of all of this is that, you know, Heather tried to go somewhat rogue and made a last ditch effort to save Tiffany. It's interesting that you would think that Nasir would be somebody that, you know, Heather would want around. She was willing to throw Nasir under the bus.
Yeah. I wonder if, you know, it's oftentimes the outsiders on tribes, like they're, you know, to use Evie's, right. What was Evie's anthropological metaphor? Just like the betas, like often the betas will like fight, you know.
Yeah, I don't believe that's exactly what they said.
Dominance. She said low dominance.
Yes,
right.
Yes, yeah. Yeah.
Low dominance, like often the low dominance people of the group will compete against each other rather than ally together. I mean, we certainly saw that with the Yasas today. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that may be the relationship between Nasir and Heather, where they're, you know, they're both sort of on the outs of that group. Mm-hmm. And they're like competing against each other for like, you know, to be in with the cool kids.
Steven, I'd love to talk with you a little bit about the Shan and Deshaun of it all, because two different times we saw that they were butting heads in this episode, and both times was sort of about the communication style. And it's very rare. I don't think we've really ever seen this, especially at like a live tribal situation where allies are sort of, you know, bickering back and forth in front of the group about, you know, sort of like, and you have some like passive aggressiveness of like, okay, fine, we'll just do what your thing. And then it was very compelling to see that play out at a live tribal.
Yeah, it was. And you know, it had obviously been set up earlier with Deshaun, you know, when Danny and then Deshaun proposed Nasir and Shan sort of shot that down. Yes. And then, you know, they had that conversation. I thought they both handled it really well.
Yes.
Right. Deshaun said, hey, I really don't like it. You know, what an adult conversation that was, when they both kind of like tried to like, improve their communication skills. We should do something like that. And then at the live tribal, like the same issue kind of arose again. It was interesting. I saw very different reactions on Twitter about it, you know, both obviously very polarized. Some saying Shan was, you know, like domineering and controlling and, you know, finally people were standing up to her. Others saying, you know, like, go Shan, like, you know, so true about men needing to have their, you know, emotions coddled and be heard in that special way. I mean, you know, recognizing that I am a man and I'm coming from that perspective.
Yes. And maybe one conversation had in the heat of the moment doesn't necessarily define two genders.
Well, and like doesn't define these players either. Like mm-hmm. I personally did think that, you know, when I especially, you know, seeing that conversation with Danny and Deshaun, I did think that Shan just totally shut them down. You know, Danny and Deshaun raised an idea and Shan was like, no. And sort of like an aggressive, heated way. And then, you know, I understood why Deshaun would then feel a trial counsel. Here's Shannon once again, just like telling him what to do. Not only is it like an interpersonal thing, it's like a game thing. Like you want your plan to go through. B, you want to be seen. In order to win the game, you have to be seen as the mastermind. And so if you're constantly taking orders, you're not. I'm sorry, you sound like what you had.
No, I was just saying that I felt like that in the initial conversation, like I could totally see like, especially like in that group, like behind closed doors, like I felt like that it wasn't like necessarily like the end of the conversation. Like it wasn't like that Shan like pounded the table. It was like, no, that's it. It's my way or the highway. And you know, like I know she did push back, but I felt like it wasn't necessarily the end of the conversation of where she was saying that it, you know, and I really felt like that I agreed, like forget style. Like I felt like that Shan's plan, I thought was the better one of that Nasir, not a threat. I felt like that really that the move was you need to defang Xander and get rid of his idol. So I felt like that while like we can quibble about like stylistically, like I did think that she had the better approach.
I wasn't totally out on the Nasir idea because, yeah. I mean, you know, I think it was Danny's point that he doesn't see it yet. You know, he's not expecting it, and soon he will be. And you know, Xander's expecting it. Mm-hmm. Every time Xander's expecting it, Xander might play his idol regardless. You know, but Nasir does not have that idea in his head yet. But soon he's going to have his hackles up. Soon he's going to like see like, oh, the numbers are getting down. Like I need to play a little more defensively.
Yeah.
So you kind of want. Where's Nasir going?
Like, is Nasir is turning on Danny and Deshaun anytime soon? Like, where's he heading to? And I feel like that for Danny and Deshaun, I feel like that when they talk about Nasir, I almost feel like it's coming from a place of fear of like, okay, whatever outcome happens in the season, as long as Nasir doesn't end up beating us, like I kind of feel like that they're playing from the place of this, just like that. Oh, we will regret it so much if Nasir beats us. And I think that maybe it's sort of like, making them feel like that he is a bigger threat at this particular time than he might be, where I feel like that Xander is the danger.
Right. I mean, definitely, you know, when you're on that winning tribe, you get these goggles and you're like, I got to get this person out. Like, this is the threat to me. This guy's the threat to my game. And that can easily get carried over into the merge. But again, like Xander's always going to be on the ropes. You're always going to have the Xander target there. In some ways, you want to keep the Xander target there, right? Wasn't that sort of Tony's strategy, especially in Winners at War, is like keep these and Kagayan.
It's interesting.
Keep these people around,
yes,
who are always going to absorb a lot of attention. You know, Nasir, people love Nasir, you know, I mean, but he's never going to be that strategic threat that people are fixated on. He might become, right, like later down the line, he might complicate things if he plays his idol at the wrong time. One of us could go home. But, you know, so get out Nasir now. And keeping Xander around, he's just always going to be this, like, you know, I mean, he just draws so much attention to himself.
Yeah.
I mean, we can talk about that decision to sit out, you know.
Yeah, I'd like to get there. I just feel like there's still more on this.
Well, we still got to talk. I mean, this Deshaun Shan thing.
Yes.
You know, I do think it's worth discussing further, because I don't know. Like, I mean, personally, I thought like maybe she was being a little bit too much. I thought they resolved it really well. You know, someone shouting out at tribal council, do this. Like, to me, that didn't seem like that bossy. Like, that's just like chaos. Like, someone's got to like take the reins in that situation. But also, like, for the last seven, you know, weeks of Survivor, Shan has been so subtle. And yes, she had that like conflict with Ricard too, but like she has been like this master social strategist. That has been her defining feature. So if she has like one day or a couple conversations where like maybe she is not the most, you know, subtly social person she could be, like, I don't think that takes away from her as a player.
It definitely doesn't. I think that what we've seen though over the last couple episodes, I feel like that the game has worn on Shan. Like I think that where, you know, in the beginning of the game, I feel like that she kind of had everybody eating out of the palm of her hands because she has so much charm and charisma and is able to basically like have everybody on Ua fighting over her. You know, she's for the second time in a row, she's in the group that doesn't get to eat. She is like, you know, obviously very upset about not going on the reward. And I wonder if just like the starvation has sort of like left her like a little bit of like, you know, a little hangry, and, you know, a little bit, you know, and look, I don't eat lunch, and I get like that. So, you know, I think that she might be a little bit shorter than normal. And I do think it is having an effect on her social game.
Yeah, I mean, I think this could, certainly could be the starvation. I think there are also some people, and actually probably most people, who, you know, when they're in a situation where they're in social control, like Shane was at the start of the game, who are like incredible and, you know, gregarious and able to be subtle. And then when they're in a situation, you know, and Shane and Ricard are merging, are coming into this merge with just the two of them. And granted, Shane has other connections, but like she doesn't have that sort of like solid base of support that the Lulu people do. So suddenly you're coming in and you're feeling like you're scrambling and you're on the outs. And if you make the wrong move, you're going to be like, it could easily turn on you. And yeah, you're like not able to operate with as much confidence and as much discipline and as much subtlety because your position in the social hierarchy has completely changed.
Yeah. And so it's really going to be fascinating to watch what the relationship is going to be for Deshaun and Shan moving forward. I mean, we came into this merge of like, boy, what's Ricard and Shan going to be like? And I'm sure we'll get to Ricard and Shan also. But now Deshaun and Shan is going to be a relationship to watch and to see if they can sort of like mend their differences because of their different communication styles that they have. I think it's also going to be interesting to watch that if you're Heather and when Deshaun is like, okay, fine, we'll go with your plan. Fine. We'll just do it. And then is Heather have the wherewithal to pick up with like, wait, did you tell Shannon it was okay to go with the plan to vote me out?
Yeah, right.
Was that what you agreed to? Like, yeah. That'll be interesting.
Do you think Heather like is going back and is like doing damage control? Like, what's Heather's position right now? I mean, like she like shot her shot. It totally blew up in her face.
Yeah. I don't know. I think it's going to be really interesting to see. And one of the other things that I think that is, I think like led to sort of like all of this chaos. And, you know, I think there's going to be people that's like, I don't like the chaos. I think that it makes it very exciting where that I don't know. I have to go back and look at what day is this? Is this one day later? Is this 2 days from the last episode cycle? But I think that having like there be less time in between tribals, it's like that the boiling water hasn't come down as much since the last tribal.
That's a really good point. And that, like, so like there's still the last tribal carries over more. That's a really good point because typically, yeah, you do have like time to kind of like recover. Like a tribal happens, everyone comes back. There's a lot of like raw emotions. There's a lot of like strategic energy. There's a lot of excitement about what happened. And then like 2 days later, like you're sort of onto the next thing. And like, that's there, that happened. It is real, but you know, you're kind of like, well, then what's the plan now? That's really interesting to think that because the time is shorter, that one tribal carries over more to the other. I mean, that might be one way that this season, the shorter structure is better. Like it's like, cause it creates more continuity.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Let's talk about Xander and what he did. And I have to say that, you know, like, you know, we do the Xander voice and, you know, I think we've had a lot of fun with Xander, but I have to say that I do think that Xander is a very sharp player. And I thought that while he did miss the advantage, which was hidden very well, I mean, I think you really had to like case the joint to find an advantage. It seemed like he was looking for something that he did, you know, have the presence to be looking for something. I mean, the one that Sarah Lucina found was like a giant like tube said like secret advantage, even though Michaela missed it. Like Sarah was able to just like glance over there. Xander seemed to be looking around, but the idea to sit out of the challenge, like maybe he felt like that, oh, maybe there's going to be something by the bench, but to the explanation that he gave of, I am looking for allies and I need to be, it's better for me to be with the people that lose the challenge, that's a good spot for me. That I hadn't really ever thought of that before, but I thought it was a really interesting point.
That the emotions are more raw. But like my experience, I mean, I believe him when he says that is his experience. My experience is the opposite.
The winners.
The winners, everyone is super like excited. Mm-hmm. You know, like when you go to the reward place, there's the rules are a little bit more lax, you know, like you're chattering even on the way. People are like on a high, yeah. and you're eating food and you're having a great time. The food itself, like, drive that gives you more mental energy, gives you more physical energy. And then everyone over there, you know, sandwiches or whatever, is brainstorming, they're talking. Whereas like the losers, like, go home and sulk, you know, and they're mad. And like, maybe sometimes that leads to a vindictive vote. Like, those jerks won again. But like, here where it was all random, I don't know. I mean, maybe his experience is different. I'd be really curious to hear at some point. But I thought that both the, like, traditional wisdom and my own experience was that, like, you want to be on the winning group because that's where new deals are made.
Well, it's interesting that's his perspective, because he was in the group that lost the challenge after the merge. And I wonder, you know, what kind of bonds ended up getting made then that he felt like, you know, and don't forget, like, Tiffany and Heather were in that group together also. So maybe there was some bonding that went on with the group of people that would have gone to tribal council had Erica not reversed time and broken the hourglass.
Well, it also could just be the specific people rather than like the losers. You know, you're looking at those two groups, like, you have a decent sense of who's going to win. And, you know, maybe he thought, like, hey, I want to be with that group. Like, there are people there with whom I can make inroads versus that other group, which was, you know, Evie, he's already got a relationship with, you know, the rest of them were Luvu pretty much. Right. I mean, or entirely. And you know, they are this tight-knit community, whereas you have Shan on the other team. I guess Ricard was with the winning tribe. But, you know, and there's some people in that group who you really can talk to. You know, Liana was in that group. You know, Xander could do some damage control with her. I mean, maybe it was just like the specific individuals.
Steven, do you think that if the group that Xander left, now they went on, they won the challenge with Erica, but do you think that if they went on to lose that challenge without Xander, would they have been annoyed? Like, you know, freaking Xander could have helped us win. He could have been the difference. He decides to sit out.
Yeah, he would have been the difference maker. What's weird is that it's a very, again, like, talk about him, like, absorbing a lot of energy, just being like a focal point. Like, it's such an ostentatious thing to do. And we talked about this a lot, you know, when it happened with Natalie in season 29. But, like, you know, it's just like, it's like such a conspicuous, I mean, and of course, didn't like Albert give up a reward or something? Mm-hmm. But it's such a conspicuous thing. And it's not necessarily something that, and I don't know, it just, like, draws so much attention to you. And maybe Xander's, you know, already such a focal point that he's not, you know, concerned about that. But
I saw some good stills of, like, Deshaun seemed to be a little bit like rolling his eyes as it was happening.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know, like, you know, and it's like a reason to vote someone out. Like, oh, he's trying to get, you know, sympathy points or something, or like trying to win Erica over. Like, let's stop that, you know, in his tracks.
Yeah. Steven, the thing that I really loved about Jeff with breaking the fourth wall was that I loved the fact that Xander didn't find the advantage, because I think that, you know, it's so much that we feel like, okay, people are there's an advantage, an idol hidden in the challenge. They're going to do it. They have 100% success ratio. And I just really made it interesting for me for, like, moving forward that, oh, we're going to hide an advantage in the challenge. And he didn't find it. He didn't even notice it.
There's stuff that, you're right, there could be stuff anywhere, you know, and all future players are going to have to think about that, but there could be stuff anywhere and it's waiting there for the players. And if they don't get it, they don't get it and it's gone. I thought that was really fun. Mm-hmm. Also, like, there's something about Jeff putting it in there that just made the stakes seem higher. You know, sometimes they'll, like, zoom in and there'll be like a little, like, you know, like a,
and he kept looking. He kept, like, looking down.
He was feeling around.
Yeah.
I thought that he was waiting. I didn't realize at first that they were swimming towards him. So I thought he was waiting until they got further away, but actually no, his only time to do it would have been, like, really out of the gate.
I have to say one thing I didn't like with the challenge tonight. So Evie is able to solve the puzzle. Evie has it, the puzzle memorized. It had been done apparently in Edge of Extinction. So first off, kudos to Evie. They memorized the puzzle. That you know, incredible job. Like, bravo for Evie. But to Survivor, make a new puzzle. Like it
should be reuse puzzles. I don't know. They reuse
it,
puzzles.
It shouldn't be. Challenges. It shouldn't just be like, oh, the tribe that memorizes the puzzles the best wins. Like you know, it was one thing like when Spencer, you know, like traced the puzzle that they
a
did
Colin Stone suggestion.
That they didn't use. But that's fine. But it shouldn't just be like, oh, I memorized the puzzles on it, and it's like, okay, they know how to, like, especially when it's like a thing with a trick. I don't know. I feel like that to me, like great on Evie, but I feel like is that what we're testing? Like who memorized the show the best?
Yeah, if you study for the test, you should pass the test. Yeah. I mean, I kind of feel like, I mean, look, if every single puzzle was just, you know, I mean, it maybe now that's what it will become. If there's every single time there's someone who memorized it and that's why they like breeze through it. Then, yeah, I think that would get a little bit boring. Mm-hmm. But, you know, this time, I mean, the fact that it happened once now, you know, once 10 seasons ago, you know, and it's because of these people who put in the work and as a result aced it, like that's cool to me. You know, yeah. The people who are actually putting in the effort, thereby getting the rewards of that effort, like that makes sense to me.
Okay. The other big thing I wanted to talk to you about is Ricard is part of the reward. And then Ricard comes back. Shan is eating papaya that Nasir had cut up. And Ricard takes the tiniest little bite and he wanted to try the papaya.
He tweeted that he never had papaya before in his life.
Yes. And he said he had an allergic reaction also, which he then found out. So I don't know if Shan put like, you know, that was like a jinx on it for. Yeah. But Steven, Ricard says, I've never heard this before. This is since when is this a thing? If you go on a reward, you can't eat the tribe's food when you come back from the reward. Steven Fishback. Is this a thing?
Yeah, that's a thing. That seems like basic. I'm there with Shan. You know, that seems like, first of all, I get why Ricard would want to try it. You know, you're in this tropical experience.
Ooh.
There's this like, you know, thing that's on the island. You want to like papaya. Try every part of the experience. You know, like, let me just have like the tiniest morsel. It's not going to take away from anything. You know, nobody's going to like lose out on calories because like I stuck my tongue on your papaya slice. But you know, just the optics of it are not great.
Yeah.
They're not great. No. You just had a giant feast. You're probably full. These poor people are starving. Just don't do it.
Right. Right. And again, Ricard's had like the tiniest bite. Again, logically, it should not be a thing, but it is a thing. This is to go back to ancient history and Survivor of the Amazon. Dina and Dave went to go eat ice cream. When they came back, Dina wanted to like we had made rice or whatever, and it was like one of the things where Jenna Maresca and her relationship like really changed after that. Jenna Maresca has confessionals like, Dina, how could you just got back from a reward? How could you be wanting to eat the rice or the fish or whatever we were eating that day? So that is a really big deal on Survivor. If you win a reward, that's it. You're done for the day. Don't come back and eat the tribe's food.
Food politics are a pretty good,
very
pretty
big.
Consistent like source of Survivor tribe strife. You know, you've really got to pay very close attention to how much you're eating, when you're eating. You know, for him to be like so oblivious to it, I was a little. I mean, maybe it's the fault of, you know, not having had any rewards on this season so far. But you know,
And it's also the fact that the same group got rewards twice. Yeah. Like it really is like a have and a have not situation. And I wonder if maybe that led to the show wanting to give rice, where I think that they might have felt like that. Okay, well, you know, half the people are going to get the merge feast, and half the group is going to get, you know, to eat the grilled cheese. It just so happened that the same half that had the merge feast was also. And again, what were the chances that two times luck of the draw was going to be the same people? It's not necessarily like that the people who won the feast self-selected and picked each other again and then keep winning like it's have and have nots. It was just like kind of luck of the draw.
Didn't that happen in Ghost Island too, where like there were like a bunch of random swaps and then like every single time the numbers worked out perfectly for Navidi? Maybe I'm one of the seasons.
Yeah, I mean, it feels like when there was the swap in Survivor All-Stars, where basically like the same exact tribes all came together for Amber going to the other tribe. Like, would love to see, like, what are the chances statistically that so many people would be back together? But we'd have to get War Dog working on that.
Is he good with statistics?
He's good at statistics. Yeah. We did put up a poll on our Instagram. We'll give you the results. Was Ricard wrong for eating the papaya? Well, we asked the listeners.
I think so. I think the listeners will say yes.
Yeah. Steven, and then the negotiation, sit out for rice or compete. We saw something similar in Survivor Cambodia in Second Chances, where after you had had that really bad rainstorm that you were suffering in the rain, where they had how many people need to sit out of the...
I think it was five or yes. something. It was like, I think it was five. No, maybe it was like, I think it was only five and then everyone sat out. But
yeah, except for Joe and Keith Nail. Yeah. So, Steven, did you like how Jeff went back and forth with, I need multiple people. What's the definition of multiple?
Yeah. Is two multiple?
Technically.
That was a very fun. I thought it was more fun. I mean, when it started, I was like, you have a number, you know, why are you messing around with this? Like, then he throws out seven, but then they come back with five and he's like, okay, sold. Mm-hmm. And that was fine. But then when Xander, you know, mixed it up a little bit, you know, after there was some hemming and hawing, I thought that was really neat. Like when there was actually became a negotiation where they'd settled on this number, they couldn't get that fifth person. And so Xander volunteered himself to sit out if somebody else would go, and Jeff accepted that. I thought that was kind of a cool, and then it became an actual negotiation.
Did you feel like that Xander again put himself out there in the hero position again to say, all right, if you make the number four, I'll do it, and then one other person can do it. Like, where it's sort of like, if he steps up and is three, it's almost like that the fourth person, I felt like that Ricard didn't get as much credit for being the fourth person as Xander did to say, hey, I'll be four, is three here?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's very funny. Like, Xander gets credit for both of those two last spots. Right, that's very funny. So, you know, Shan gets credit. Nasir, mm-hmm. something by the way Nasir steps forward, he looks like, you know, he's in an action movie or something. Just like, you know, I'll do it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, and then that's very funny. Like, he does have a way of really drawing attention to himself. Again, why you want him in the game?
Mm-hmm. Steven, are you ready to take some questions from the listeners of Rob's podcast?
Oh my God, I'm ready.
Okay. All right. Why don't we get started? How about Lauren?
Lauren wants to know, has there been another time when an advantage just wasn't found?
We don't know. Well, Jeff didn't tell us.
Exactly. Could have been. Mm-hmm. We'll never know.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, I'm sure there has been some time when something was hidden and not found.
I feel like I feel like there was something where, like, they hid. I mean, maybe I'm just misremembering it. You know, they hid something in a place and it was never found. And so they're like, yeah, this is not on play. Did that ever, like, maybe in like a one of like the maroonings or something? Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Here's a question. This is one's from Ben and one's from Begurpa. Do you think the contestants are going to stop doing live tribals because they learned they're unnecessary and unhelpful? Heather voted Tiffany. Was Heather's live tribal all an elaborate ruse? All right. Well, let's focus on the Ben part of the question. Steven, do you feel like that after tonight's episode that the contestants might say, like, maybe we should just lock the plan down before we go to tribal?
I think, like, Jeff is dad, right? And they want to please dad, and they know that dad wants the action. You know, dad want, well, that's weird. That's a weird place to take it. But they know that dad likes it when the kids misbehave, you know? Let me get rid of this dad.
Yeah, let me say.
Jeff likes it when the players act up and everyone wants to please Jeff. And so I think that, like, I mean, you know, it did really feel like you were saying, like, the whole first part of tribal was just like the waiting game before the chaos started. Mm-hmm. And so I actually think that they are, you know, likely going to be predisposed to do more live tribals because they know that's what, you know, the Jeff likes.
It's almost like that. It seems like that it's like an expected part of the tribal council where it's like that Jeff should, like, announce, like, all right, so those are all the questions I have. So does anybody want to say anything to anybody else? And then they could sort of, like, have their period of, like, free for all.
Yeah. I mean, I think everyone's a little bored of it, but also if it was gone, wouldn't we miss it? I mean, I know that's always Jeff's response when, you know, fans criticize twists in the show, like, you know, you don't know what you want. But I actually do think with the live tribals, I don't think we need them every single tribal council. Well, but I think if they were totally eliminated, we would miss them.
In this merge so far, we're 2-for-2 on these votes. That do you think that we will have a period where they get up and move around during every tribal the rest of the way?
I hope not, but it seems how many episodes are there left? Like five?
So this is a good point. This was announced today. CBS announced the whole slate of the next 8 months of CBS reality TV. The finale of Survivor 41 is going to be on Wednesday, December 15th, which I think makes for 5 more weeks after tonight. So we'll have 4 more regular episodes and then the finale. So the end of the season is closer than it may feel like here of this, very interesting new format of the show. The Amazing Race is coming back in the first week of January. So we will have Amazing Race 33 coming in. Survivor 42 will be premiering in the first week of March, which is a little bit late for Survivor. But in these years where the Winter Olympics happens, Survivor has been pushed back a little bit further out. So we will have Survivor premiering in March of 2022. And also Big Brother Celebrity is going to be back also on CBS. And that's going to be premiering the first week of February. So a lot of CBS reality TV news.
Wow. So big news for you.
We'll be busy. We'll be busy.
Yeah.
Okay. robinswebsite.com/subscribe. Okay.
Yeah.
Steven. How about this question from Leslie?
All right, Leslie wants to know, do you think Ricard told Xander to play his idol at Tribal? Oh, we didn't talk about that.
Yes, this is good.
Because he wants him to stay so they can work together.
What do you think, Steven?
Or was he still just trying to flush the idol?
I saw your tweet on this.
Yeah, I compared it to Amanda Kimmel, who famously in Heroes versus Villains, tried to get Parvati to play her idol, which, you know, basically clued Parvati in that she did not have to play her idol.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I didn't think it was the most subtle execution. What about you, Rob?
Yeah, I feel like that it was definitely, and maybe, I don't know if Xander was able to sniff out that, okay, they're just trying to get me to play my idol. I mean, Xander has been a ballsy player in this game so far this season. And this was another time when, you know, like, I think that somebody who is a little more skittish would play their idol in this particular scenario. Xander chooses not to. It is, once again, the right call. He only ends up getting 2 votes here. So he's able to sniff out that there is, not a major threat coming his way. And so it did feel like that. And again, that I think that probably it comes from a place where Ricard probably felt like, no, we need to get Xander to play his idol tonight. That is the right play. That was the original plan. That's what we should be focused on. And it's, again, another night where Xander doesn't have to play that idol and moves forward another round with an idol in the game.
Yeah. I agree. I very much agree.
Okay. Goat on AstroTurf said, with Shan's gameplay being so messy, is there any way she doesn't get voted out within the next 2 votes? I think I disagree with that. Her gameplay is so messy.
Yeah, I think she had a messy episode for sure. I think we can all agree, like, you know, you don't want to piss off your allies. And you know, like, regardless of who's right, right? Like, neither of them wants to piss off the other. And so if we're analyzing it from Shan's perspective, she was wrong to get into an argument with Deshaun. If we were analyzing it from Deshaun's perspective, he was wrong to get into an argument with Shan. You always want to be placating and reaffirming your allies. Mm-hmm. I think she's great. I mean, she's been able to be at the center of everything. You know, suddenly, you know, she was obviously at the center of her original tribe. Here in the merge, she's once again like the strategic driving force.
Well,
I think she's, you know, messy episode.
For Shan and Deshaun, I think what's interesting is that I think that Deshaun has been the, and maybe Sydney might argue with this, but I think that Deshaun was the strategic leader of LUVU. I think that basically with all six or with the other five people in that group, I think that really Deshaun was the one that was in the best position coming out of LUVU. Shan was that person on UWA, right. Except for that Shan was on a tribe that that lost so much, really. So they've had sort of like opposite journeys there. So Shan is coming into the merge, like, hey, feeling like, hey, I'm the strategic wheeler and dealer. And Deshaun is feeling like, okay. And so they make this new alliance with the black players. And I think it's like unclear really who's calling the shots in this group. And I think that Shan feels like it's her and Deshaun feels like it's him. And so it's interesting that they, you know, they still have to, you know, sort of sort out how that relationship is going to work. So yeah. I think it's going to be really fascinating to watch how it plays out. And it seems like that their communication styles are not in sync.
Right. It seems like, you know, and that's probably what it is more than anything, right? Like Shan speaks in a really impassioned way and Deshaun is a little bit more, you know, laid back about the way and with the way he speaks. And that seems to be like, you know, maybe from Shan's perspective, hey, I'm listening. I'm just like really arguing my point. And like, she uses like, she leans in, she uses a lot of body language. Deshaun, you know, is a little bit, isn't so, you know, doesn't have as much movement when he talks. And that might be it. You know, like they're maybe, you know, from Shan's perspective, hey, I'm listening to you. From Deshaun's perspective, hey, I'm speaking to you. But like, because of their different ways of communicating, each of them feels like the other is not necessarily hearing them in the way they want to be heard.
And really, I think that for that group to really succeed, I feel like that either Danny or Liana like needs to like sort of become like the mediator of the group, of like the person who's saying like, okay, all right, hold on. Don't walk away. Don't walk away angry, Deshaun. Like, okay, Shan, don't get frustrated, you know, and there needs to be somebody there. If that group is going to succeed, like I think that they just are going to need like that couples counselor who's going to be there to, you know, help facilitate those conversations.
Yeah. I don't want to end tonight, and I know we've got maybe some more questions, without talking about how much fun Evie is. You know, she's just such a like a this smile on her face. She's just like always smiling. She's always having so much fun, you know, and she did a really good job of recovering after she was almost voted. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, maybe not. Maybe she was about to be voted out again. Maybe she didn't actually recover. But I thought the way she went to every person was like, hey, water under the bridge, no big deal. You know, it's what's past is past. You know, we're as good as we ever were. You know, personally, we're best friends still. Okay, you voted for me. She did such a good job there. And I feel like with all the other stuff that's happened in this episode, you know, that maybe may have gotten lost.
It was a great night for Evie all around, between acing the immunity challenge, or sort of the reward challenge, winning individual immunity. I really liked what they said at the tribal council about like, well, aren't you you three a group? And Evie says, look, I'm the only reason I'm here is because Sydney played her shot in the dark. They would have let me go. They didn't play the idol on me. And so I felt like that Evie is going to be, you know, the show is better for having Evie still there right now. So, you know, we'll see where it goes from here.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I mean, there's so much fun. And again, like always with a smile, always just, you know, enjoying themselves, and really a lot of fun to watch.
Okay. All right. Steven, we have the results from, was Ricard wrong for eating the papaya? What do you think the audience said?
I would say overwhelmingly yes.
Overwhelmingly yes? Not so overwhelming. 68% said Ricard was wrong for eating the papaya. You
know, in a political election, that would be a blowout.
I guess so. Yeah. So, yes, that a mandate of people said that Ricard wrong for eating the papaya.
Yeah. I mean, again, like he just had a little bite. He wanted to, I get it. As a human being, I get it. As a survivor player, it was a mistake.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, he just wanted to taste it. He did not ask for, you know, a big part, but it is, you know, survivors are very sensitive about their food. Steven, anything else from the episode that you want to highlight tonight?
Just a really fun episode. You know, I thought that the very beginning scene, the very opening scene where you have the three Yasas, the three little turtles that could, all sort of, you know, trying to backstab each other. It was a very fun scene. It was interesting too, because, you know, we often have seen these smaller groups who end up doing really well because they're super tight knit and they have, you know, gone to tribal council a bunch. And that hasn't been the case in this case, you know. In fact, quite unexpectedly, Luvu has continued to dominate the game. And, you know, kudos to Luvu, I guess, because they didn't really fall prey to the Tandang curse.
Not yet. Steven, I think we're in such an interesting position is in terms of like trying to look at like who is going to be the winner of the season. I mean, I feel like that this is like as wide open as any season that I can remember.
You mean strategically? You don't mean in terms of the edit?
I know how you feel from the edit perspective, but I feel like that based people, on...
And I'm not even sure anymore. I mean, like, I feel good about... I mean, I'm only sticking with my call because of... I don't think there's anybody else who's really viable, but I mean, I'm not even like 100% sure anymore as I used to be. Mm-hmm. But yeah, from a strategic point of view, there's a lot of people who, you know, could be in very viable positions to win this game.
Yeah. Is there one player in particular that you really like their positioning?
Oh, that's a fun question. I mean,
if you could switch spots with any player in the game right now,
that's a good question. Probably Deshaun, right? Because he is the person who seems to be the strategic center of Luvu, where, you know, so he's got all those Luvu people, right? As you said, who are loyal to him. You know, he's tight with Erica. Maybe he has Heather, you know, and then he's also part of the All Black Alliance, which is controlling the strategy. I think he's in the best. I mean, maybe Danny, but you know, it's a question of like, who's the bigger threat. You want to be like the less big threat of the two, you know. My like, you know, old school survivor instinct is Danny is the big threat because he's like the big athlete. Maybe Deshaun is considered to be the bigger threat because he's like the more strategic player. I don't know. What do you think, Rob? Who would you switch with?
I mean, I think that the person that if I could quantum leap into anybody, I think that the person that would be the most fun to play from, I think would be Ricard, because I think that Ricard is a person who is in a very interesting position where I feel like that nobody's really looking at him, and, you know, he could potentially, you know, work that relationship and stay with Shan and go in the direction that she's going, or could potentially, you know, see, he seems to have this relationship with Xander, and then could potentially go and work on like picking up the people that are sort of on the outs and playing that way. So I think that for Ricard, nobody's looking at him, and I think he has a lot of different paths that he could go.
I don't know. That's to me, but he's so easily disposable. You know, someone could be like, okay, you know, he could just be like horse traded, you know, like, okay, you vote out. Fine. We're going to vote out Heather. So now the next you have to lose Ricard, you know, as a way of, I mean, he doesn't have any real strategic leverage right now, you know, and like, who's he going to pick up? Like, we already know that Heather, I mean, we think that Heather and Erica are like Luvu strong. You know, maybe he go, and if he flips over to the Yasas, he's like not at the top of that group. Mm-hmm. I just think he's got like nowhere. I mean, like, maybe in like, if you were like arranging the players as though they were chess pieces, like, you know, maybe Wolf, we may put that group together and that group together. Like, maybe Ricard has some, but like, I think in terms of,
there's
of
so many fractures, position, even tonight that we saw where, you know, Heather's trying to get Nasir voted out, and Nasir is voting for Xander, and Deshaun is willing to throw Heather away, and, you know, and Shan and Deshaun might not be on the same page. So I just think
that, and nobody's coming for Ricard. To your point, nobody's coming for Ricard.
I think
right
he would be the most fun position to play as if you could jump in and be him.
See, I would love to. I think it's more fun to play from a position of strength. You know, I mean, you know, why not be the guy who's in everybody's conversation?
Okay. All right. Well, we'll see how it goes. We will have a very fun exit interview tomorrow when Tiffany joins me to talk about everything from her perspective. So looking forward to that one. Should be a very fun exit interview on Thursday afternoon. Be on the lookout for that one. And then, it's always a treat when we get to talk to Dr. Christian Hubicki. We'll have a great chat, I'm sure. We'll take questions from our listeners and check in with what Christian is seeing right now in
That's
Survivor 41.
That's like a foot 41. Of hair ago. That's like, that picture is really out of date.
Yes, you know, yes, need we need to update. Like, we need to update like the Christian picture. Yes, yes. Okay, of course, then we'll have our Survivor Feedback Show. Very fun that we're going to have Maggie Morgan and Jacob Jones with us to talk about everything that's going on our feedback show. Get your voicemails in for that one. robiswebsite.com/voicemail. And then on the Survivor 41 Q&A, Jessica Leese will join us to answer your questions as we do every week on Monday night at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific. And of course, on Why Blank Lost, David and Jessica will tell us what Tiffany did wrong and many other things along the way on this episode of Why Blank Lost. And then, Dirty Harry is going to join Shannon Gus this week. And so, of course, nobody's lying about having a kid, a fake kid this season that we know of. But we'll see what Shannon and Harry come up with on this week's edition of Survivor Global. And then Kemi from Big Brother 21 is going to join Taryn live on the Survivor Stockwatch coming up on Thursday live. Also, on the B&B, Peridium is going to be joining Mike and Liana to play some games. I mentioned Jessica Lee. So her and Mike Bloom will be with me. Tough as Nails, Season 3. We have not been covering it on the weekly, Stephen, but we're going to catch up on the first 6 episodes of Tough as Nails with a special episode this Friday. So be on the lookout for that. So, Stephen, you catch up on a binge so you could listen to the podcast.
I got to catch up on the last, 20 years of reality television, and then I will be ready to go.
All right. Of course, lots of great stuff over on our Patreon feed. This past Tuesday night, we had Survivor Trivia on Kahoot with Jordan Kalish. We had 400 patrons playing Survivor Trivia. It was a lot of fun to be doing that live. You could watch the replay of that. We'll be doing it next month as well. Check that out and everything else we have going on Patreon over at robiswebsite.com/patron. And then I'll be chatting live in our patron Discord coming up on Thursday at 5 p.m. Eastern. If you want to join me for a fun chat there on the Discord stage, that's going to be on a Thursday. And then check this out, Stephen. We're going to go live with Bryce Isaiah. Let the patrons call in this Tuesday night for what we're calling a Purple Pants party.
That sounds fun.
It's a Purple Pants party. And we're going to chat with Bryce, get some advice from Bryce if you need it. We're going to be live. We'll send out the link as well. That's going to be a patron exclusive coming up on Tuesday night.
Wow.
Stephen, holiday season is here. Have you started doing any Black Friday shopping?
No. Can you recommend something for me to do that?
What do you want? Oh, yeah. Robiswebsite.com/Amazon. You can get our links to our affiliate links for Amazon.com. It's a way that you can support Rob as a podcast and RHAP without spending any additional money. Just use our link to go to the Amazon.com when you go to Robiswebsite.com/Amazon. This holiday season, of course, hit the subscribe button if you're watching us here on YouTube, or go to robiswebsite.com/subscribe to subscribe to all the RHAP podcasts wherever you listen to podcasts. And of course, follow us on social media at Rob is a podcast, at RHAP Grams on Instagram, or Rob is a podcast on TikTok. All right, Stephen, what's coming up for you?
I'm just hoping my daughter sleeps through the night. She's having a sleep regression. That's it. My whole life.
It never ends.
It's all about whether or not Margot sleeps. Like, that's like the single determining factor of whether my life is
a good day or not. Yeah. Yeah. I can, very, very relatable content from Stephen.
Well, Fishback. I think that you had it. It sounds like you had a really bad.
Stephen, don't think we still don't have it.
Really? It doesn't end ever?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No. Come on.
You. I mean, look. That your mileage may vary, but my. My 6-year-old. He wakes up and has a. I had a bad dream.
And you're like, it's fine. It's a dream. Come on.
I got sprayed by a skunk.
Wow.
That's okay. It's fine.
It's fine. Yeah. Is it because you've moved to, you moved out of the city?
No.
Now there's skunks around?
No, I don't know. I got stung by a bee. He has wild dreams, wakes us up.
Oh, no.
And they wake up at an ungodly hour, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Stephen, people want to know, who got the fishy?
So, first of all, I think I messed up last week. Last week, I gave it to Deshaun. I thought Deshaun deserved it. But I think Xander deserved it more last week. Xander did such a good job with the play to flesh out Liana's the knowledge is power advantage. And then, not playing the idol for Evie. I thought that was great. So, I want to retroactively, let's give another to Xander. For this week, I don't know. Who?
Heather.
Rob? I mean, who came up with the plan to vote out Tiffany? I mean, Xander again for not playing his idol. I mean, Shan for masterminding the plan to remove Tiffany. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Who? You tell me. You give me some.
I mean, I don't know. I kind of feel like that Xander is the one here that came away from all of this, like with the, you know, Tiffany's gone. He still has his idol. Like Evie is probably the one that I think you can go for.
Evie
wins the immunity. I mean,
the puzzle. She studied. It paid off. You know. I'll say Evie.
Yeah. Okay. So, interesting stuff. Interesting episode here tonight. It's going to be a fun home stretch here of Survivor 41. Be sure to follow Stephen Fishback on Twitter.
Yeah, at Stephen Fishback.
Okay. Thank you so much for joining us, and look forward to a fun Thursday talking Survivor with you with the exit interview and our interview with Christian. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.
Bye.
Support for this podcast comes from our friends over at Geico. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do, and it's hard work, but you know it's easy? Bundling your policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. It's a good thing, too. You're busy enough. Go to geico.com and get a quote and see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today.